Hello, hello, and welcome to Literate Lessons, episode 195. These aren't my usual co-hosts. Currently,
I mean,
you have the beer for
Carter. I've been here the whole time.
I've always been here.
This week, we are joined, both Carter and Jay had some travel, some family events. So to cover this double regional special, I'm joined by two Literate Lessons veterans, people who I have known for over 3 years and are two of my biggest friends in this community. The first, as most of the people do know, a returning guest, Josh Bauer, Bauer Dad. Say hi to everyone.
Hello, what's up, everyone? Glad to be back. Thanks for having me. Excited to chat with y'all and talk about these regionals.
Yeah. The second guest, someone who hasn't been on the pod for, I want to say, almost 3 years now, one of our mods, Mod Tim, welcome back. The last time you were here, the last time you were here, was Crown Tundra even out?
Time I was on the podcast was for the 1 year anniversary, which was the first time that they brought the mods on.
Okay, so yeah, that was at least Crown Tundra was out.
Yeah.
That was episode 100, wasn't it? That's a long time
ago. One year, that would be like 52.
52.
Oh, that wasn't 100? Wow, showing my ignorance here, that's a shame.
Yeah, and I mean, with you bringing up 100, with this episode, we're going to hit. How many Mondays left are there in the year? This is one. So actually, that's going to be six, seven.
Oh, Turtle Cam, let's go.
Yes, Turtle Cam. So episode 200 is also going to be posted on New Year's Day. So we will be ringing in the new year with the 200th episode of Literate Lessons. But that's then, and this is now, and we have two regionals to talk about. And the first one is going to be the Brisbane regionals in Australia, the first regional in the Oceania region. So we're going to go to our trusty lab mouse. And what's really nice about this week is that Tim, of course, is the creator of Lab Mouse, so he's going to tell me exactly what I've been doing wrong the last month and a half of me using his tool on this podcast.
Just me occasionally pinging him after every podcast to say, hey, should have done this, should have done that. Just pestering him.
It's like, yeah, you know that you can just click that button and view the open team sheet instead of going into PokePaste every single time.
Wait, you can do what?
This little button here, you just click that, and it gives you the open team sheet.
That's so good.
When Carter and I were clicking that button there, which brings you to the PokePaste, we did that for about 20 teams.
Oh my gosh. We don't deserve Tim.
No, we do not.
I was debating changing that, actually.
What, just getting rid of this, or?
I was debating keeping the PokePaste link, but I was debating changing it to, instead of having that list, to instead show the pairings and matchups for that player, who they won against.
Oh, that's hardcore. I like that.
A little inside baseball from on the developments here.
Something I'm talking about, but it's a lot more work.
Well, we'll find out on the pod one day when I click that button expecting a team and I just see a roster of names. So, in general, the Australia region, it usually does not follow the overall global meta that we see out of players from Latin America, Europe, and North America. When you look at the top Pokemon that you see here, overall, it looks like the usual suspects, Hands, Fluttermane, Urshifu, and then all of a sudden Hisuian Arcanine pops up as the number 4 Pokemon. I think in general what we're going to see this weekend is that Landers did not have a good weekend in terms of usage. And of course, the two genies, Amoongus, Wellspring Ogepon, Heatran, Rillaboom, following. So the top Pokemon really look the same, and that's when this top placements here comes into play, and we'll go into it when we do look at the teams in the moment. Arcanine's streak is broken, And so is Tornadus and Urshifu's. 8th place is the highest finish for Rapid Strike Urshifu and Hisuian Arcanine, two Pokemon that have terrorized the Western Hemisphere's VGC scene during Regulation E. And Tornadus didn't even cut.
That's now, insane to me.
I didn't realize that until looking at this data, yeah.
I didn't either, and I'm glad I was able to bring it up so I look really smart.
So, yeah, you can say that Hisui and Gudra did as well as Tornadus in this tournament.
You can.
Oh, someone's going to clip that and run a team.
You know, I think I already know one person who might.
Look at this tournament!
Not going to name names, but I'm giving it like 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. I'm going to get a text saying I was right. So, in general, looking at the teams, we aren't going to get too far into this one because we do have a larger regional to cover as well. But there are just a few things I'd like to note. The first, like, Nicholas Khan, first of all, congratulations. Congratulations on earning your invite. With there only being 3 majors in the in Australia this year, getting those regional wins for a world's invite is going to be huge. So to be able to show up and to one of the only 3 big events and to grab it, that's a massive, massive boom to his season.
Yeah, big win.
Yep. So the main, however, his team is a little more standard, a little more westernized. The teams that I want to talk about finished 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And the first is Lewis Tan using a balanced team with Dusclops instead of your usual other forms of, you know, balance mons. No Goldengo or Fluttermane. It's this new support mon. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm not that surprised. Like, I'm a little surprised, but I'm not that surprised. I feel like when Dusclops was reintroduced into Scarlet and Violet, that people were writing it off unnecessarily, and that was surprising to me. I don't think it's performed as well as, you know, obviously the other potential Trick Room setters that we have. But, I mean, Dusclops was still really good and really troublesome. I guess that's partly due to the Regulation D stuff. So I'm a little surprised, but not super surprised.
I think it's a little bit more so that we're dealing with a very hyper-offensive meta at the moment, which is where Dusclops tends to struggle a bit. When we're dealing with a slower, bulkier meta, that's where Dusclops tends to thrive. But he's still doing a pretty good job here. I think one other thing to note, I was talking with Jack Lloyd, who got 7th, and he said that the main thing on this team that threw him off was the Terra Ghost Amoongus, that he just was not prepared for that, and that threw a loop through his plans.
Yeah, that is another thing I was about to bring up. When you look at the team in general, even like the Dusclops, it's a standard Dusclops set. This has been the Dusclops pretty much everyone has been using. The only difference you could see is on your weakness policy, Blood Moon or Suluna teams, it'll have Brick Break over Nightshade, but in general, this is the team for Dusk, that like the set for Dusclops. The Ghost of Moongus definitely is something that we have not seen much at all in this metagame in order to avoid the fake out. And with there being, I mean, Iron Hands is one of the top Pokemon. You have another strong fake out user in Rillaboom, which just in general gives Amoongus problems because you can't spore it, and it ignores the Rage Powder. Giving it that ghost typing to ignore the fake out and to get aggressive on a spore play, that could really change the dynamic on how the Pokemon plays, where it's usually a very slow Pokemon that tries to set the pace of play, but now just by changing the Terra type, it has this quasi-aggressive play that it can make that can definitely get an opponent on the back foot. The next team, and really 2 teams, we have Vivek and Connor, both of them taking their own look at Psyspam. Vivek is using a team with the Indeedee Armor Rouge with more balancey, just general good stuffs. King Gambit, Flutter, King Gambit, Specs Flutter, Lando T, and Ogre Pawn. With that, be also just noting that this is a Taunt Ogre Pawn, which is another great tech on Water Pawn. Nice. And Connor went full-blown, like Hard Trick Room mode. We have the Psy Spam. We have the Sun with Torkoal and Lilligant. We have the the Hisuian Ursaluna. And then we have one of my favorite funny little guys in the meta, Regidrago.
This team looks so violent, and I just love it.
It's the team in fourth is almost identical to what I was running in Regulation D, with the exception of the Regidrago, which I had Fluttermane instead, and it is a very terrifying team.
Yeah, I think one of the things to note is that you have three offensive Terras with the Torkoal, the Regidrago, and the Armor Rouge, which is really, really fun in terms of just putting out immediate damage. I want to, like, this is a team that screams, I want to win the game in four turns or less. And even then, if you can survive the onslaught of the Trick Room between the Terra Psychic Life Orb Expanding Force or a Terra Fire Sun Boosted Charcoal Boosted Eruption, this Regidrago in the back with Choice Scarf can put out a ton of late game pressure, especially if you don't have a Fairy type to be immune to that Dragon Energy spread damage. Where I can see a situation where like you bring Indeedee Arma and then one of like the Torkoal or the Ursaluna, and that's your Trick Room mode, and you just whittle everything down with the Trick Room, and your opponent has phew, the Trick Room's over, and now they're just staring down that fast behemoth who has who can put out just as much damage as the Torkoal with the Dragon Energy.
Yeah, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but I mean, for most of these teams that you'll see, like, Regidrago can be so good because it's like, all you have to do is get rid of their Fluttermane. And, of course, Fluttermane is on so many teams, but I mean, it is just one Pokemon usually that stands in the way of Regidrago just going nuts. And especially if you have the Psychic Terrain left over from your early turns, a lot of what most teams might do to deal with that scarf is not available to them. Yeah. They just have to take it.
I find it interesting. It's a bold play to use Terra Dragon, which, yes, you want to hit with just that overwhelming power, but when you are relying on the Choice Scarf and you do have the redirection with Indeedee, but the booster energy Fluttermane with with Dazzling Gleam is still going to hit it hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why it's like it's a late game Pokemon, and you're hoping that your first three mons, especially in that Trick Room, can force that Fluttermane out to where your opponent can't keep it safe in the back for it to do its thing. With that being said, speaking of Dazzling Gleam and Fluttermanes, Vivek, it's definitely more of a standard team, like in the sense of I can see for Connor's team, I can't see a war. Like, you have the Torkoal Lilligant Sun mode, maybe you bring Drago there, but even then, it's like you still want to be in Trick Room. With Vivek's team, he can easily bring, I feel like you can bring a combination of any four of these six Pokemon, and you can put together multiple different modes, a Trick Room mode, your regular balance mode, take advantage of, maybe not bring the Indeedee to help take advantage of the Sucker Punch that King Gambit gives you. You can do, so like I'm not a Psy Spam guy, never really enjoyed the archetype. This would probably be maybe sort of Psy Spam team I would try because it seems like it has a lot of different options and modes that aren't just centralized around the Indeedee Armor Rouge getting Trick Room up. Any more comments on the two Cy Spam teams before we move on to the last team that we're going to discuss for Brisbane?
Not specifically about those two, but I'll point out that for Armor Rouge, we saw that every single Armor Rouge this tournament was Flash Fire, which is after LAIC, where we saw in, I think, 10th place, there was one Armor Rouge that really dominated with the Weakness Policy Weak Armor set that kind of expected to see a handful more, but didn't see any this time around.
Well, I think the other thing is we really don't have the great, like, weak armor procs on these two teams. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I was referring to all of the teams, but...
Oh, okay. No, that is true. This is why I have Tim on, folks.
This is why we have Tim.
The last team, Daniel Walker, has two different teams. Again, this is more of like an offense balancing team, but it is featuring two mods that we really haven't seen a lot of in Regulation E. The first being a Life Orb Gamora.
Who is that?
That is not as interesting to talk about as who let the Clefairy touch the Moonstone? Does this person know that we're playing VGC and not like Smog on OU?
Did Daniel get on stream for any of the Brisbane rounds? Because love to see this Clefable in action.
There is sadly no stream for Brisbane. I don't believe there's going to be stream for any of the Australian events. If there is, it would be a unofficial stream. It isn't, like, again, with the non-North American events, it's usually very difficult to get streams, even, like, the next tournament that we're going to cover. A lot of the European tournaments beforehand were ran independently by Victory Road. It wasn't until this season that the Pokemon Company said, oh, we're going to do production support for European events that aren't EUIC. So...
That is so criminal. I think so many people would have loved to see this team, especially on stream, because I'm just looking at this. I don't know what Clefable does in this team, but obviously he got fifth. So, like, it's doing something.
That's something.
So, I think with the Terra Water and the Rocky Helmet, you're acting as redirection that can chip away at Urshifu's, also the moon, like the fairy ice coverage is just generally good coverage to have in a format where there's a lot of Pokemon weak to both types. Again, it's like one of those things where what's really cool about this game is that probably for this specific team, Daniel probably had issues with the Tornadus, with the Urshifu, and said, well, Clefable can ignore any boosting Pokemon, an example being Goldengo, which is another common Pokemon, can go Terra Water with Rocky Helmet to chip away and pretty much ignore Urshifu, and between the Moonblast and Ice Beam, offensively threaten a lot of big
Urshifu,
threats.
If it's not Terra.
Yeah, the Urshifu, Ice Beam threatens Lando, Torn, Rillaboom. So I think it's what's really great about this game is that the weirdest Pokemon might fit a specific role, and if a Pokemon fits a specific role that you need on your team, it doesn't matter if it's the top Pokemon or if it's the right move. If it's like, in general, if it's the right Pokemon for your team, use the Pokemon for your team. And clearly it was the right one for Daniel's team, because he did make in a phenomenal run coming in fifth place.
Yeah, this is something else. Do we have this person's Twitter or anything? Because I would love to.
I do not. Okay. If we could find it, I will let the viewers know on our Twitter.
Okay, perfect.
Just to give this person proper shout outs. So,
yes, 100%.
I think the Glamora, the more offensive Glamora sets, we might see another set similar to it in the next month when Regulation F drops, just because we're going, if Glamora is able to learn Meteor Beam, which is a confirmed move coming back, that has
my gosh,
that has a lot of potential.
With you mentioning that, that is something like we didn't bring it up in news, and that's because we do want to talk about it in later episode, in a later episode when we do an Indigo Disc overview. But just so the listeners understand what Tim's talking about, there was a few big time content creators got to play a demo of about an hour or so of the Indigo Disc, and one of the things that were confirmed by people such as Joel Merrick from Cerebi, Necra, Gabby, was that a lot of the remaining Isle of Armor move tutor moves that didn't come back in the Teal Mask DLC will be coming back in this upcoming DLC. So we're going to get Coaching back. We're going to get Meteor Beam back. Rising Voltage, maybe Pinkurchin can actually do something with its life.
Actually, I don't think Rising Voltage was one of the ones confirmed. It probably is, but I don't think it was confirmed.
Even if it were, Pinkurchin's not doing anything. let's not give the people false hope, right?
Yeah, I'm giving myself a little bit of false hope.
Okay, but you know what we can give hope for is Misty Explosion, right?
The worst tutor move ever. Here's an explosion move that only works when terrain's up. Good luck. Oh my god, what were they thinking, or not thinking? But yeah, that's just something that we will discuss at a later point. With that being said, if Lamar does get Meteor Beam, or any Pokemon that gets Meteor Beam, I'm going to be happy. It's one of my favorite moves. It's such a cool move, and I hope we get it back.
Does it still have 95 accuracy?
Yep.
No, whoever made a two-turn charge move,
but you get a
95% accurate, needs to be in jail.
Dad, we get a plus one. It's fine. Just hit.
No!
Just hit. It's easy. Just hit.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of just hit, I have a comment for when we get to the next region we're talking about.
Okay, and that is the first thing. So we're going to be switching from Lab Mouse. Don't worry, we'll be back in Lab Mouse. But we're going to be switching to day one usage for Gdansk Regional in Gdansk, Poland. And right from the top, we can see that this usage is really falling generally in line with what we saw at LAIC. Iron Hands is still on top, but people have really just come to realize at this point the metagame's so centralized, and Tornadus, Arcanine, Waterfu are just so, so good that there's no point in not using them. So Urshifu going into the top two for the first time all season. Top four is been a borderline slot for Torn. Arcanine, a Pokemon that usually was in the bottom half of the top 12, shooting all the way up to five, beating out both Heatran and Rillaboom tied for sixth and seventh, and Landorus falling all the way, usually a top three Mon, all the way down to seventh. So overall, what are your overall thoughts on just the day one usage?
I stole it first last time. I want Tim to.
Sure.
I want to, when we get back to looking at the tournament stuff, I want you to take a second to go to Goldango's page and look at its rise in usage over the last few official tournaments. It is insane to look at.
Yeah, this is, Goldango has definitely been a Pokemon that, and we've seen it a lot from day one to day two, which we'll get to just in a moment, that it is a Pokemon, it always rises from day one to day two in this regulation. The top players in this format are really are the people who are really piling this Pokemon and showing that it is still as dominant of a Pokemon as it's been in the entire in the entirety of the Scarlet and Violet metagame, and that when we were seeing those super high Fluttermane usages, maybe it's a part where this format just fits Goldango slightly better, or maybe it's a part where we all just got a massive case of new toy syndrome and we didn't realize the toy that we already had was still really cool. And now that it's cool and retro, everyone wants to use it again. Before we do get to that, the other thing I would like to note, we have four Pokemon right now at 40% usage on day one. which I cannot recall seeing that at any point in Scarlet and Violet.
Mm-hmm.
I will take four Pokemon at 40% usage compared to one Pokemon at like 75% usage.
Yep.
I agree. I think I agree. The meta
I also agree.
I think the meta centralized, but there's still like little tweaks in between each team that makes it a little unique enough. But in terms of just crazy metagame from day one, sure, like 40% Pokemon out of like 300 something is crazy. But when we get down to the top 32, this is just seven Pokemon over 40%, two over 50. Urshifu should never have existed. Unseen Fist is a mistake. And I said this last week, I am not, I think, and you guys know me well enough, I am the last person to complain about a Pokemon or say that it's broken or so to speak. But them not look, so they nerfed Regieleki's ability. And I think one of the things that kind of balanced, if you might even want to use the word balanced, Unseen Fist in Generation 8 was the fact that it didn't hit through Max Guard, and you had the ability to double your HP at the click of a button at any moment.
Yeah, they buffed Unseen Fist in a way.
Pretty much. By removing
Dynamite.
Yes. Yeah. What I thought was going to happen going into Generation 9 was... Partly, I still think that at some point they should try. It's probably too far gone at this point. But in future generations, Unseen Fist should just treat it like how hitting a max move or a Z move into Protect where nerfs, you get the damage off, but it's only 25% of what you would do. I think that would balance it to where you can still play defensively against this Pokemon, and it also doesn't take away like what makes Urshifu special. But seeing it jump like and become the number one Pokemon in the day two meta is just absolutely insane.
It's a little sad. One of my favorite moves is Feint, which just like stops them or like breaks the Protect, which is like the whole designated. It's the whole point of the move. It's like, oh, we don't need Feint because we just have Urshifu.
Yep. And Urshifu, I mean, it always does well at these events. But then you're going through watching Goldengo jump to fourth place, 46.9%, only 3.1 points behind Fluttermane.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, tied with Tornadus, who is also just insanely powerful. I know that I personally, me myself, I like the idea of Roaring Moon on these Hyper Offense teams as well, as your Tailwind setter there, maybe doing different types of utility, but it is a tier 2 setter because Tornadus is on a tier of its own and probably will continue being in a tier of its own throughout the the remainder of this game's life, like the generation's life cycle, as like the premier Tailwind setter.
Yeah.
I do like the flexibility of Roaring Moon. If you look at the stats, only of the 9 Roaring Moons, 5 of them are running Tailwind sets, like the more supportive Tailwind set, and the others are running the more offensive Dragon Dance set. So it definitely has options.
And we can just dive straight into the data right now. So, Tim, you're going to pilot me through this. You mentioned looking at Goldengo.
Okay, First of all, just let's get out of the tournament for a second. Just go to Goldengo on the sidebar.
It's loading. Tim, oh, there we go. I was going to say, if this breaks while you're on, this is just going to have to scrub the entire episode.
So regulation, just select regulation E at the top and go type official. And just apply. Look at that usage stat just soar.
My goodness.
So Peoria, we had a 6.2% usage. Went up a bit in Sacramento. And then leveled off around like 8, a little around like 8-9%. And then from this point forward, LAIC 17%. Brisbane 21%, 28.8% at Gdansk. This is just absolutely nutty.
Yeah.
Just absolutely nutty. While we're here, do you mind just, as an aside, while we're here, just going over a few of the other usages of Lab Mouse? Like, we have the tournament standings here. We have terror types, items, moves, teammates. A ton of information here. Now, is there anything, like any little tips or anything you think the viewers should know about just while we're here?
I mean, this is great usage to see. The Pokemon usage is probably the biggest thing to take a look at, just because you can see, hey, Goldango usage is spiking. I need to make sure that I have that my team is prepared so I know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
As well as seeing, you can go down to Terra types and you can see Dragon type or Dragon Terra type has been soaring. That was primarily due to Ogerpon, as well as a few of the other offensive threats, just being able to have resistances to all those. So it says, okay, I know Fairy and Ice are and Dragon are other good options for knowing how to actually handle this, because it is likely going to Terra. you can see here that the leftover, it's specifically being the Terra Dragon leftover set in the items that has been skyrocketing and gained a lot more popular, while the Choice Specs set has been has really been reduced. And you can also see that in the moves, that the Nasty Plot has been on the rise. And as a result, you're seeing a lot less Goldango running Power Gem or Thunderbolt, just because it is not a Choice Spec set. They most of them have Protect, and most of them have Nasty Plot, so that gives you some indications on how to prepare against it.
Mm. Which is, it's so interesting, just to interject real quick, talking about like the trends of Goldango specifically, because the Nasty Plot Terra Dragon is not the Goldango that ended up winning. It was a more traditional, like, series one Goldango, like Terra Steel, Choice Specs, Make It Rain. Like, I think every time he was on stream, Oliver did the Terra Steel Make It Rain, like,
with
complete and total abandon. And I just thought that was super interesting. I wonder if that's just kind of something that he thought he would take advantage of. It's like, oh, all of these Goldengos are doing Nasty Plot Dragon stuff, which is really good and taking a hold. And so while people are figuring out how to beat this more setup defensive bulky Goldengo, he just goes and hits the go button turn one every single time. And it was really something to see, one, Goldango kind of carve out this spot in the meta, and then two, claim a big victory with a very old set instead of a new one.
Well, even this old set has some new tricks. And before, of course, congratulations to Oliver Eskelin.
Yes, I gave it away.
Yep, for his placement and his world's invite. And I think old dog, new tricks. One of the new moves right here that we really never saw in Goldango is Steel Beam. So for those of you who want to know, Steel Beam is I believe a 140, 150 base power move, steel type move, about 140, 90% accuracy. And one of the things with this attack...
95 accuracy. 140 is correct on power.
One of the cool things... Well, it's a cool thing. The side effect of using this massively powerful attack is that by clicking that button, you take 50% recoil, like 50% damage recoil, regardless of if the move hits or not. So you can miss and knock yourself out. I have a soft spot for Steel Beam. I ran Steel Beam Dialga in Secaucus.
And you did!
And
I forgot.
In my testing, I may or may not have missed a Steel Beam and knocked my own Dialga out versus Trocky. But one of the cool things with these sorts of teams, and again, this is just looking at the type of team this is, it's a very hyper-offensive team.
Oh, yeah.
Oliver's team, it's five of the six Pokemon. that have been on that very popular, like, team that Simone, who came in second, used it as well. The team Simone used, the team that Chuppa used, with that wild card spot being this Specs Goldango instead of the Chimpao, and also changing a few other change-ups, going with a Citrus Berry Will-O-Wisp Terra Water Hisuian Arcanine instead of the Terra Normal E-Speed, partially because you don't have the Chimpao to give it that boost. And with these super hyper offense tailwind teams, a lot of times your opponent can get yourself on your own back foot in positioning where you don't, like, maybe the Goldango did its job. It got the KO it needs. It doesn't need to be around anymore. So your opponent can stall out, ignore the Goldango, go after the other Pokemon to try to stop it from doing what it's trying to do in the tailwind, and stall at the tailwind. Well, Steel Beam turns into a, you can't ignore me, I will knock myself out so one of my friends can come in and continue to keep the pressure on. It's something that people don't really think of, and it's one of those weird things where clicking Steel Beam on, like, a 40% Goldango that might not have a lot left for you to do, if you hit, both of you are going down. And if you miss, well, then the Urshifu I need in the back, or the Fluttermane I need in the back, or even just, like, I can now safely switch my Tornadus in to get a second Tailwind up. Those are plays you can now make that you couldn't make beforehand.
I mean, it also works with the other Pokemon as well. I mean, Rillaboom, you could get in for another Fake Out. Like, Hisuian Arcanine, you could get in for an Intimidate. Like, there's so much you can take advantage of if you get that self-KO. And, I mean, I know it's not on this team, but Iron Hands is another great example of something where just deal huge damage, get a free switch in, and then, oh, boom, now I can Fake Out stuff.
I'll say is very much a kind of Hail Mary move, because, like, 95% of the time you're going to be pressing Make It Rain or Shadow Ball.
Yep. Yeah, I'm curious if Oliver kept track of how many times he actually clicked Steel Beam. If I can ask him one question, it would be that. The second question, the Terra Ghost is again, like, we're seeing these Terra Ghosts on grass types right now. And again, that's just not a common Terra type you really see on the Rillaboom. Like, you mostly see the fire, as Simone is using down here, as just a generally good defensive type to complement the grass typing.
My initial reaction feels like it's just a Urshifu counter, because they're not going to hit you with Surging Strikes because you resisted, so instead they're going to naturally hit you with Close Combat, so you Terra Ghost and they can't do anything. But okay. I'm sure there's more reason to it. That's just my initial instinct.
That there's Fake Out Wars and such.
That and Fake Out Wars, I feel like, are the most likely offenders.
We already went over it, talked about it a little, but moving to second place, Simone Centivo's team. Simone are Liverpool?
I believe Liverpool champion.
Liverpool champion, yes. He won a regional regulation using this exact same six. This six is very good. These Pokemon are very good. Again, going back to day two usage, and he has four of the top six Pokemon in usage on this team, including the first, second, and third most popular. If you're prepping for an event and you don't have a direct answer into this team, to where I'm not even, like, even like, if this is an auto loss team for you, you need to reconsider, because I do believe, just in general, this is clearly the most consistent team in the metagame right now.
I love the Life Orb Chimpao.
It does so much damage.
That's actually the first time that he's used the Life Orb. He's actually used this. He's gotten top eight with this team three times. He won Lille. He got fifth in Barcelona, and he got second today. And the other two times he ran Focus Sash Chimpao.
That's the variant that I like, because I am a baby and I can't. I can't put Chien Pao the Life Orb on there. I need a focus so sash on it.
This original six it yeah. is the Hirofumi six. So this original six, it is the Hirofumi six from Regulation D, and the Hirofumi team did mm-hmm. run Life Orb Chien Pao. So in many ways, this is actually like Simone taking the team and going back to the original roots with it by running the Life Orb Icicle Crash.
Interesting.
For reference, Ro, you can go to the teams page and type in Simone Sanvito, and it pulls up all of his teams.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So good. Lab Mouse is clutch, man. This is so good.
I am so excited I'm getting all of this like live and not like all of the texts tomorrow. It's like, you should have done said this, you should have done this. I'm like, I'm trying to work.
This is actually a Lab Mouse user group coaching call. This is not a regional recap. This is not a podcast. This is
honestly though. Moving on to third place, Eric Rios. I want to talk about the Salamence.
We've seen Salamence show up a little bit, but it's always like one person that just found this nice niche with it.
I just watched it die a couple times, but that's only because I saw his top four match against Simone, and Simone is a sharp cookie.
So I think one of the cool things is we first saw it pop up on the rain team, and it was a scarf variant, and everyone's like, okay, it's a rain support mon when you don't want to use Tornadus as like your tailwind setup. Mm-hmm. And then at LAIC, we saw this Rocky Helmet with Tailwind and Roost cut pop up, and it was popping up on these more like balance teams, not the usual like the rain teams that we saw. And it looks like Eric has continued this trend here. I just think it's a really great niche in the meta. Dragon Flying is a great defensive typing for the metagame right now. Rocky Helmet in an Urshifu meta is always going to be one of the best items you can hold. Intimidate's an amazing ability. And it can Tailwind. Like, I think it's a super cool Tailwinder that would probably be so much cooler if it wasn't for the fact that Tornadus wasn't the meta.
I think it's also notably a really good fit if you're committed to Heatran, because obviously Hisuian Arcanine has been running the gamut on basically everything. But if you already have Heatran as your fire type, if you're dedicated to that, you can't do that in Hisuian Arcanine. You fold to ground, you fold to water, like it's too much, even for those two extremely powerful Pokemon.
No, I think that and again, just having the flying type to be that ground type, like you can switch into the water and ground type. Mm-hmm. But you brought up a great point, like Salamence really does complement Heatran very, very well. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say with the Heatran that we see that Eric ran and a few of the ones that we saw in Brisbane as well, was that the Terra Grass Heatran has been coming back, because overall Amoongus has been coming back. It didn't have a great day two showing for this event, but it is around a lot more than it was a month ago.
Yeah, we've got almost a 50-50 split between Terra Grass and Terra Fairy Heatran now.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Okay, moving on to fourth place, Tom Winter, running a
Volcarona, baby!
Bulky offense team.
I love seeing Volcarona.
Yep, Volcarona with Sinistra. Is this Sinistra's best finish, Tim? The fourth place here? Is it finally starting to shed the mid-allegations?
Let's take a look. I'm just pulling up teams. You know, here, I could just have you do this.
Actually,
the coaching call. How do we do it?
We're going to do this. So we're going to go teach us the magic. Teams.
We go teams. Type in Sinistra in the first Pokemon slot.
You gotta be able to spell Sinistra, otherwise.
Did I spell it right?
And then say, type official, and Regulation E. And then just search.
And then I can just sort by placement here. Yep. Yes, it is. So it is the second cut. Yes, because Sinistra did get finished in fifth place. This Sinistra that Bobby Rochelle ran in Toronto was the heat-proof Nasty Plot set.
Well, wait, there's a what set?
Yeah, did you not see that in Toronto?
Heat-proof Nasty Dad, Plot?
I covered this before. Listen to the Toronto pod. We're talking about Gdansk. And this Sinistra is the more standard one that we've seen. The Hospitality Rocky Helmet. Well, Hospitality plus supporting item, in this case Rocky Helmet, with Strength Saps, Trick Room, Matcha Gacha, and Rage Powder. One of the great things that Sinistra can do is role consolidation. And so in this role consolidation, you have a Pokemon that can nerf the opposing attack, can heal your own Pokemon as a cleric, can add that redirection with Rage Powder and be speed control with Trick Room.
So, I feel like I only saw it in the semifinals, and unfortunately just did not put on a good show in there. I'm sure that it did more throughout the rest of the tournament, but in the quarterfinals or semifinals, it just kind of sat there and did not have the offensive pressure it needed.
That is the issue with the Pokemon, and like, it is one of these weird things where it looks so good into Urshifu, and then it can, like, Matcha Gacha is not 100%. You don't really invest too much into it offensively. So even when you are hitting, you aren't putting out a lot of damage. It's not there to do damage, but it can definitely have that, like, island syndrome where you are able to ignore the Sinistra, take out its partners, and not really get too far with it.
It's still 121 special attack.
Yeah.
Like, I think the biggest weakness of Sinistra is just the fact that the competition for grass types is so tough because you have a Rillaboom and a Moongus.
And Ogerpon.
And Ogerpon of the Wellspring any of them, really, but just Sinistra looks so great on paper, but you also have a handful of other grass Pokemon that are absolute superstars, and it's just tough to find its proper place. And that being said, I mean, we were talking about the idea that it is it's a hyper offensive metagame right now, and I think as that slows down, I think Sinistra might get a little bit more of a niche. Granted, you know, Rillaboom and Amoongus are both just fine on slower teams anyway.
But I think I agree with where you're going. It has everything to be a good Pokemon. It's just not the right environment. Volcarona is very interesting. The Flame Body ability being able to threaten Urshifu, where if it does click Surging Strikes into the Volcarona, it means that you could go Terra Grass, and now you're risking three shots at Flame Body just taking Urshifu completely out of the game. It's another Pokemon that I think it's good, but also you do have that, even with the Terra, inherent weakness to Torn, you're weak to Hisuian Arcanine, the Terra Flying Terra Blast from Landorus, you can't escape that. And I think that's like the tough part with Volcarona, and the reason why I don't think that we've seen this all too often. In general, though, I think it's another one of these Pokemon where very powerful Pokemon might just not be the right moment for it. For most players, it was the right moment for it when piloted by Tom.
Yeah, and I mean that's the beauty of Pokemon. I mean, there are so many. It's still a team. It's still part of a team. Like, especially in, you know, VGC, which is a doubles format. Like, even Pokemon that look incredible on paper may not fit right with your team, or may not fit right with where the metagame is at. And then Pokemon that look kind of medium on paper. Yeah, I mean, I think Hisuian Arcanine was a really good example of this. Like, when it was first introduced, people were wondering, like, oh, I think regular Arcanine is just better. Like, it felt like there was a lot of back and forth because on paper, Hisuian Arcanine just seems okay. And then people discovered the Choice Band variant, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, I have an Intimidator that can also hit like a truck. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's doing the numbers.
Six out of seven, baby.
Yeah, just the way... Yep. The way that it fits in both into teams and to the metagame is so relevant, which is just one of the great things about Pokemon in general.
I'd just like to point out one last thing about this team. With Flame Body Volcarona, Intimidate Landorus, and Machigacha Strength Sap Sinistra, this team has pretty much as many tools as possible to try to shut down physical attackers. The only thing it's missing is Wotien.
We're using real Pokemon, Tim. Sinistra is the Starbucks branded Wotien.
Oh my gosh. A little bit lighter, more mobile.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, you might get a little bit of a kick out of it. sorry, Moxie. Moving on to our next team, we have Frederick Nielsen, who is running a Trick Room balance team. This is a team actually that is slightly similar to some of the Regulation D or like Moon teams. The Cresselia being one moon and the Ursaluna being the other moon. Not the moon Ursaluna that I like, but the moon Ursaluna that's actually doing well right now.
I was just going to say that we've been seeing fewer and fewer Ursaluna Blood Moon. It's the highest placing Blood Moon this tournament was 25th.
Don't remind me. Just, again, down horrendously.
Pokemon just looks super broken, but just isn't putting up the numbers right now.
That's because this Pokemon called Urshifu exists, and just not fun. Just can't get it done. And honestly, I thought that was going to be the same thing with Ursaluna. Cresselia as a Trick Room setter is not really something that we've seen. We've seen a lot of Dusclops, we've seen a lot of Fergrath, but the allies... I threw up in my mouth a little. Ally switch Cresselia.
It's okay, they nerfed it. It's okay, they nerfed it.
It still exists. Guys, we played in like unnerfed ally switch closed team sheet, and that's what the three of us came up in. How are you two not fully insane? Because I sure as hell am.
I have really big dreams of approaching an OTS format with having ally switch on one of my Pokemon and never, ever, ever clicking it.
Just
goals, just let people. Him see it. Just let it. Just let him see it. Just let him sweat.
Just bring back the non-flashbacks. other Pokemon on this team, we have... Iron Hands, which is, again, one of the best Pokemon in the format, works amazing inside and outside of Trick Room. We have the Heartflame Ogre Pond, first time we've seen that in cuts so far. Mm-hmm. And then we have Urshifu. No, not that one, the other one. Single Strike Urshifu.
Urshifu has two forms?
Urshifu, it does. And the Dark One actually had Urshifu Single Strike had a pretty decent weekend. This was a Pokemon that I thought was going to be more on the rise for LAIC last weekend. I was wrong there, but you know, was I wrong or was I just a week ahead? Who can say? I can say I was a week ahead.
It beat out Rapid Strike in Brisbane.
I'm genius. Yeah. I was just completely wrong continent.
Also, listen. I know these are top cut regional players, but protect over detect. Come on. You play detect.
I mean, you do, but I can also see where it's like you just want to have that button to be able to click it more. I can see that, but also
because protect has more PP. That's the argument.
Yes.
Nah. I hope Trick Room starts to make more of an impact so that people will try and imprison Trick Room stuff. because I want people to start getting got by Imprison Protect.
Well, like, even, like, so your main, I don't even think your main Imprison users carry Protect as much anymore. But again, things can change.
Frigorath isn't really carrying Protect very much, and it's, like, the only Imprison user.
I mean, to be fair, Urshifu is the Pokemon that's stopping people from clicking Protect anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
That's a good point. But yeah, I've really enjoyed using Urshifu Single Strike. It's more niche than the Rapid Strike, especially since Rapid Strike, just the three hits, gets around Focus Sash, it just does so much damage, as well as Single Strike having that 4x weakness to Fairy. But in the right environments, it is very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Going to our sixth team, David?
It is David.
David. With the Brams, this is a Pokemon that has, honestly, I wouldn't say even become a meme in, like, my building group. Jacob is obsessed over Bramblegast. There was a 5-minute rant at dinner time at NAIC talking about how it could be good. And I said, bottom line is, it could be good. I don't think it will be. And I've come to really like this Pokemon. And whenever it's on screen, I get excited. But in order to keep
it holds up. It holds up against things like Torn and Urshifu Rapid Strike. Like, it has a lot of good things that it doesn't just immediately fold to, which is nice.
So the thing with what you're saying about Urshifu, if it's just Terra, it can live. If it's just rain, it can live. If it's Terra plus rain, doesn't matter.
I mean that's anything that's not a good one.
But yeah, that water. It's not that special, but yeah, I'm just...
Or Gastrodon, yeah.
Yeah.
I just mean, you gotta... It commands a little bit more respect from those big threats, which I like.
I think one of the other things...
You can't just bleak wind it.
Yeah.
I think one of the other cool things is, since Torn is so popular, and a lot of these Team Special in Day 2 are using the Pokemon, you can have Bramblegast in the back, knowing that you can force yourself into a 1v1 Brams versus Torn in the end, where unless you're facing against the guy running Air Slash Torn, you're going to win, because Torn, the two moves of Tornadus usually carries, Bleak Wind Storm and some of them run Icy Wind, do nothing into the Bramblegast.
I do like that this one is running Poltergeist rather than Strength Sap. It's just a nice little change and slightly more offensive, with the one caveat being that if you try to use that into a booster energy Fluttermane, it's not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Poltergeist is definitely, I think, the key move that took Bramblegast over the edge from Regulation D to Regulation E.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I think it's you guys might have heard this if you've listened to the pod, you're going to know what I'm talking about. We talk about what we call the Umbreon theory, which is Pokemon that is on the surface not great and is absolute god-awful in these low-power formats. When the big boys finally get to the table and we're allowed to use, like, these big legendary Pokemon and stuff, all of a sudden, this Pokemon that was practically unplayable in, like, a regional decks format is a consistent threat, because it does the one thing that either supports all of these really powerful Pokemon, or on the other end, it can completely invalidate certain strategies. In general, I think this is a cool, overall cool team. Double water, double grass,
no fire.
No fire types.
And there's our Terra Dragon Nasty Plot Goldengo.
Yep, there is that. And then I think another interesting thing for this team, just looking at two other different changes on common Pokemon sets. This
Life
is a
Orb.
Life Orb, Terra Poison, Urshifu Rapid Strike. Not the first time I've seen that Pokemon. That exact Urshifu set beat me in Fall River 4 times. not great. But it's again one of those situations where you have the defensive terror tool, like you have the life orb, so you don't need to terror to get that extra damage output. So you can have that defensive mode there, which I think is super, super cool. Urshifu is weirdly, it's like not bulky, and at the same time, it's bulkier than you think it is. So the life orb recoil doesn't really kill you too much. And speaking of and another change, instead of the Terra Flying Choice Scarf Landorus Therian, we have a Terra Water, like a defensive Terra and Terra Water, and Choice Band, again, having another option to put out an immense amount of damage.
I love this so much. For what I was talking about with Arcanine, it was like, oh, we have this Intimidator that can hit like a truck, and I'm curious why more people haven't attempted it with Landorus, because that it has what infinity based attack, right? Is that what it has?
Pretty close.
Feels like it.
Like it's literally like 145, isn't it? It's something just extremely disrespectful.
I think the big difference is the move Rock Slide here, where the Arcanine gets stab on it, so it's the stab choice band Rock Slide. While the Landorus doesn't, the Landorus still needs to use Stomping Tantrum, which is a good move, especially if you get that chance for the double damage. But on the other end, the only, like, even with the Choice Band, you have to use Earthquake to get that damage off. It's a spread damage move.
Yeah, just Earthquake. Just don't be a coward. Just Earthquake stuff. It's fine.
It's and of course, it's... You go, Tim.
It's one of the few Landorus that are not running the Terra Flying Terra Blast.
Yeah. Because that was the Terra Flying Terra Blast was the usual way to get the damage out.
Now, listen, they have no trouble committing their Terra to get a flying move. Come on, just use Earthquake. Just don't be a coward. Come on.
What is interesting is that every other Pokemon on the team has some form of Protect. So you can technically click Earthquake at any time. It's just that when you have to click it a second time, things might get dicey. So you got to make sure that first one really, really pays off. Going into seven, unless you...
Oh, Devine's in cut. Let's go.
Do you have anything to say about this team, Tim, or do you mind if I go to...
No, go ahead.
Okay. Seventh place, another Devine, an offensive team with, again, some... We see six Pokemon that are very common, and two of them just aren't in the form that we used to see. We see another single strike Urshifu, and then we see this Landorus Incarnate, which is Tim. If you don't mind looking while Dad and I riff on this, I'm curious to see like if this has been a Pokemon that's been increasing in usage. In general, it is a very powerful one of the strongest special attackers in the game. To have the ground and poison coverage is really, really useful right now. To be able to go do like the sheer force life orb stuff is always fun. I know that this was something that Carl actually used on his team.
Who I was thinking of specifically. Like he, you know. Had mentioned, especially against Glimdozo stuff, it's like you have a Landorus Incarnate, and it's like, what do they do against that? And usually the answer is not much.
Especially if you can go into a defensive Terra, you can get yourself into a really good position against teams like that, which, again, the Terra Poison works both defensively and offensively because it lets you now get the stab on the Sludge Bomb. It's just one of these Pokemon that does a ton of damage, and again, it's a right place, right time for it. Other Pokemon, relatively standard, we have the Assault Vest Iron Hands, the Terra Normal Choice Band Arcanine, the Follow Me Ogre Pond Wellspring, and the only other change is they have a Taunt Fluttermane. I'm assuming the Taunt is to help as another check into Amoongus. And as a way to stop Trick Room from going up. Because this is a team that definitely does not like being in Trick Room. It likes being the fastest thing on the... relatively the fastest thing on the field. And taking KOs.
To answer your question, it hasn't had a massive spike in usage over the last few official tournaments. It's gone from like 1% usage to 4% usage, which isn't massive. No. But if we do look at the placements, it has done decently well. It got 11th in Lille. Toronto got 43rd. But LAIC, it got 18th. Brisbane, it got 13th. And Gdansk, it got 7th. So it's not gained high usage, but it is gaining some notable results.
I think one of the things, like with what you said, when you're trying to like find like which Pokemon are we missing, looking at those not low usage Pokemon, like we're not looking for, oh, this one person ran this one mon that did really well.
Yeah.
But like a Pokemon that has like a handful of usage that is consistently
doing something.
Well, yes, consistently doing something, consistently getting placements, overachieving its usage placement. And usually that's a sign of a Pokemon that is something that like we should be looking at. To a broader extent, what we were just saying with earlier in the episode with Goldengo had that, I'm not saying low usage, but its first tournament.
Lower.
It was only like 8-ish percent, but it did win. It won the first Regulation E event. And so that might have been a sign of, hey, maybe everyone's missing something, and maybe we're going to have a format shift soon. And I think at this point, everything's been so centralized, I don't think we're going to see any massive, massive changes for the remainder of Regulation A. But maybe if this was like a full year metagame, like a month or so, like a month or two from now, we'd be like, oh yeah, like Landorus, it's not a top 12 Pokemon, but now it's like maybe like an 8 or 9% Pokemon. And it's one of those things where you have to know that it's a thing. Like, if maybe it could like get to like the Bramblegast level of usage.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the when five people bring a Pokemon that's not that notable. When all five make it to day two, that's when it's notable.
And even with Salamence, that first regional where you had three of the top players in the game right now bring the same team with Salamence, and all three of them made top 32. And that's what put that Pokemon on the map.
Yeah, you're like, wait a minute.
Our final team in cut, Nils Dunslop. Again, this is a relatively standard team that we've seen a lot. This is the Goldengo Regidrago Tailwind team that was first piloted by Regov. And that we've seen just do, again, consistently well throughout the metagame over the past month. I don't really think for, like, I mean, well, in general, I'd love to add more, but I think that there's not much more for us to add to it.
I think the Water Terra is in particular very interesting.
On the Goldengo?
I guess maybe you didn't want to overlap with a Dragon Terra on top of your other Dragon type to be just like smoked by fairies, but like, I thought that was interesting. As, well, like, a defensive Terra that's not Dragon.
Well, the Terra Water on Goldengo was the popular defensive Terra for the Nastyplex sets before Regulation E. So, like, it's
maybe
not
a carryover.
So, yeah, I think, again, it's people just viewing the meta and going back to the well in order to, like viewing the meta, realizing that, hey, I might not see as much Ogepon as I was going to a month ago. As you said, I don't want to double dip these weaknesses. Let me go and just take another really good defensive type.
Yeah.
So, any other teams you guys want to talk about? Any other usage? Tim, we can go, like, you can show us other things we can look at.
Well, why don't we take a look at number 9, Jamie Boyce? That has a very unique Pokemon that I think we're overlooking.
I wish I had.
We just haven't seen a Hisuian Arcanine, just a very unique choice right there.
I texted this to Jess yesterday that I wish I had the amount of confidence that Jamie Boyd has to just stroll up to an event with just like the most outlandishly random special attacking flying type. From a top 4 with Thunderous Therian to bubbling cut with Rocky Helmet, Terra Ground, Calm Mind, Articuno.
Hashtag Jamie, believe in Boyt.
You're a madman, and I just respect you so goddamn much.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Because it's not even like he's one of those players that's like, I'm gonna do quirky stuff, and like, he rolls up with something that is extremely solid and has like that one pick that kind of fits with some stuff, that kind of does some stuff, and always makes stuff happen. And it's so cool to see it.
I'll point out he's the only one that brought Articuno Galar as well.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. That does not shock me at all.
My surprised face.
Yeah. So in general, the base of the team, the Rory Moongold, Dango, Iron Hands, Arcanine, that was the main core around the team that he did well in at Toronto. And really, the changes he made, he dropped the Ogre Pond Teal Mask, and he dropped the Thundurus. The Iron Hands became like that extra physical attacker, and the electric type. And even then, we're looking at it. This is a Terra Ice, Ice Punch, Wild Charge, Close Combat Iron Hands. This is not your father's Iron Hands, folks. This is
I love Ice Punch on Iron Hands. I love it.
Ice Punch Terra Ice is even crazier. This is just, it's one of those things where I don't get it, and Jamie's going to drop a video in 3 days explaining why he did this, and everything's going to click. Now, the other point is, when Jamie did this video on his Toronto team, he said that the reason why he used Thundurus Therian was because he wanted a high special attack flying type. Special attacker that didn't touch the ground. That was Thundurus Therian. And one of the reasons why he brought the Ogre Pond was because he wanted to see he wanted a Pokemon that would stop the Intimidate, which would stop his output from the Urshifu and the Arcanine. And so keeping the electric type and the physical attacker in Iron Hands, and then going and saying, I'm going to get my special attacker and my Intimidate denier with the competitive Galarian Articuno, it's all about the ingenuity in, I need this specific role, this Pokemon does it. I don't care if I'm the only person bringing it. I'm going to bring it because for my team, it's right, and I'm going to do well with it.
I want to mention something about the Urshifu before. I don't know how much of the stream y'all caught, but I watched that Urshifu Rapid Strike survive a Terra Grass Energy Ball from Fluttermane. And I was shook. I was shook. That is a fat Urshifu.
Yeah, it has substitute. It needs to be pretty bulky.
Yeah, it was just, I watched it. I watched the energy ball go off. I was like, oh, that Urshifu's dead. And it survived. I was like, what? Yeah, he was just on Twitter, I think last week, talking about how people should put bulk investment in their Urshifu. And
he puts bulk in everything. I didn't look at that, the Roaring Moon exactly, but if it's the same one as Toronto, it's like, I think it was like 176 HP and like almost just as much in special defense. Because we saw it lived a Draco Meteor from Salamence on one. Wow. And the next day, we see the HP, so I can see the HP investment. Now I'm going to just, like, play with, like, the bars to see what you need. And I was, like, astounded at how much special defense investment he had on the Pokemon.
Just reverse engineered a little bit. Yeah.
And it just worked. No, this is Boyt is currently one of the most creative team builders in the game, and it is really great to see someone who is just continuing to innovate and maybe it's not the popular decision, but if it's the right decision for your team, make the decision.
Yeah. And I mean, you have to have a very high level of skill in playing and team building in order to determine like hey, this very weird pick that literally no one else is bringing to this tournament works for my team. I know how to make it work, and I'm going to make it happen. Just is beyond impressive.
So outside of Boyd's team, any other interesting teams that caught your eye, whether it was during the stream, just scrolling through stuff? I know, like, just, again, just pointing out cool Pokemon. You have a Sandy Shocks in 20th, which is always fun.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah. That's
we have Francesco Rossini, who he was on stream, a very interesting team. Psyspam, like, so a Psyspam team featuring the Choice Scarf, Basque Legion Male, and the Darkstrike Urshifu with Choice Band. Again, super interesting team that can either go super fast with Tornadus, Tailwind, the Scarf, and the Band, or, again, can slow the game down, go with the, actually could go with the Weakness Policy, endure weak armor on Armaroos, so even the Armaroos can go super fast, going, like, flip turn, endure into flip turn into Indeedee, and then just start spamming Terra Psychic expanding forces and just taking everyone's life.
That's so unhinged. I love it.
Again, this was like this team was on stream, I believe, in day one, and it was just, again, super, super cool to see it be used. There's Blood Moon. Oh, my baby. It's just wrong time for this Pokemon, and hopefully its time will come soon, because I just want to continue using it.
Yeah. Right on. Yep.
Any general stats you guys want to talk about?
If you go top 32, you can see there is one in team composition. Composition top six. There's that team at the top there. There's four teams in the top 32 that had that composition of six Pokemon.
Okay, actually, this would actually be pretty interesting to look at just in general, where this team here, that is the Roaring Moon balance team that we saw a lot of in LAIC. It's really like the only sort of like balancey sort of team here. Bramblegast teams were very popular as well for top 32. That's again,
there's four Bramblegast that made it to top 32.
Bramblegast on the uprising, buddy.
Yeah, Bramblegast tied with Ogrepan.
And I expect Ogrepan Wellspring to get more usage as we go on.
Heartflame, not Wellspring. So Wellspring was at 9, Heartflame was at 4, but like, it wasn't, again, it was only a month or so ago when Heartflame was right up there with Wellspring as the, like, fighting for the top Ogrepan spot, and both of them were top 12 Mons. Now, Bramblegast, which is on the up and up, is getting used as much as the Ogrepan. I also think the other cool thing with these two teams, that the two teams that we saw in the finals were pretty much the exact, like, five out of the six were the same. It was just that this wild card spot here. Then you also had, this was, again, a balanced team down here where the only difference compared to your top balanced team was just the grass type. This one went for the grass at redirector, also had the water type was offensive, while the top use one was just more of like that supporty grass type as well.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no, this was honestly really awesome, and it was super cool to have both of you guys with us. Like, this has been a long time coming, getting you guys back on this pod.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. This has been wonderful. I was, I was in the Discord. I was mentioning it because, I mean, Tim and I had known each other for forever, and we had not been on a voice call together until the Trainer School podcast episode that we did earlier this month. And then we're here doing it again for this episode. So we've got twice in November 23 and nothing for 3 years prior.
Yeah, I am just going to say with this Trainer School one, so I didn't mention it to Tim. I texted Dad like a month ago. There was a scheduling issue with the three of us that we ended up with Jay, Carter, and I, where there was a chance where I would have had to have done a solo episode like I'm doing right now. And I'm like, okay, I can get Tim and Dad on. We can talk about passers. We can talk about Lab Mouse. It'll be like a week. Like, I think it was like one of the dead weeks where there were no tournaments. And I'm like, this is going to be great. And it didn't happen. I'm like, I'm just going to keep this in my back pocket.
Oh, no.
Come to last Friday, VGC Trainer, I checked my podcast. And I'm like, oh, VGC Trainer School. They're like, it's pronounced passers. And I'm like, oh, no. And I see that Dad's on it. And I'm like, oh, no. And then I see Tim was a guest. So I'm like, I yelled at my room, son of a bitch, and Amanda just ran in, and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, these guys took my podcast idea. And she looks at me, she's like, that's cool, I'm going upstairs, I'm leaving.
Oh my goodness.
Shout out to the VGC Trainer School guys, though, like, no hard feelings. I thank both of you for giving us a shout out on that pod. Because, like, it is crazy.
Absolutely. This is where we got started, so.
Yeah, it is where we got started. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And baby. It is just nutty that three of the most innovative tools to come out in the last, like, couple years, Passers, Lab Mouse, and VGC Pastes, all of them came from LRL veterans. And it's like, this little community that we've built is, in ways, one of the most influential communities of modern day VGC, because we have people like Wolf Glick using tools that Dad built, and it was just from here, or like the fact that Lab Mouse was used, I completely forgot that your idea for Lab Mouse was so we could draft, like, track, like, usage stats of, like, that podcast versus podcasting we did with Focus Sports and ATX. Like,
that was such a challenge because we didn't have the open PokePaste. It was very much reaching out to people. It's like, are you willing to show me your team?
That was even like last year. I remember when I got my placement in Secaucus, like, it was Evan saying, hey Ange, congratulations, Gib team, I need it for the website.
Yeah, he reached out to me for a couple of my opponents there as well, and it's just realizing all the work that, one, went into that we don't have to do anymore, and two, just we're moving the needle. Like, the more information we have that's readily available, like, it gives rise to making tools like Lab Mouse in particular.
And even our draft leagues were, I mean, I don't know the inner workings of Evan's mind, but I feel like a lot of our draft leagues went into some of his inspirations for creating VGC Pace, because he was always very adamant about trying to use Excel in very creative ways. And so when we were trying to have our draft leagues where we tried to make everything nice and organized on the Google Sheets, I helped out with that, and I helped him out a bit, and he definitely kind of just took that to another level.
The Excel inspiration from Evan especially has been been wild, just knowing, like, Google Sheets, I should say. It does what. But yeah, this has been great. Just, I never want to forget the roots, you know.
Literally.
I didn't even do that on purpose. As a free dad joke, baby. That's built right in.
You know, I was gonna say, I just thought that was like, just it, at this point, just in you to just have the dad jokes. With that being said, do you have any other closing remarks before I attempt to do the closing for the first time ever? Second time ever. First time didn't go that well. Give me that look.
Listen. I do not. I just want to thank you again for having me on. I'm just more than happy to come back at any point. I mean, we could still talk about passers. There's a lot to talk about beyond beyond what we covered in the trainer school. So don't feel like they beat you to the punch and now you can't. I'd be happy to come back and talk about it more.
All right, so we're on for another 2-hour talk about passers and then another 2-hour talk about in-depth analysis of lab mouse and how it works. We're just not leaving tonight.
Just cue another one up. Let's just
batch record. Just want to keep on going.
Let's just batch record. We'll just keep it. No, just Bauer mom would be so upset.
Oh, I think all of our significant others are not going to be happy if we do this.
Yeah, but no, I'm good.
Yeah. Tim, anything?
No, it was just great being on again after like 2 years. It was great to be able to come and actually chat with you guys.
Yeah, no, I
super appreciate it. I appreciate going through these tournaments. Here we go. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube page. Make sure to also comment on Apple Music if you listen to your podcasts there. If you listen on Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star rating. You can follow us for all of our updates on Twitter at LR Lessons. You can also follow me at RoeVGC. You can follow Tim at
The Lab Mouse.
You can follow Dad at
BauerDadVGC.
And you can also follow us on Blue Sky. I'm at RoeSitDigCheeks there, and we also have LR Lessons on Blue Sky as well. Shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you want to support the podcast, you can become a patron and get your name shouted out if you are a $10 subscriber, just like Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Swish, or you could become a Discord supporter as well, just like Smeargle. And I think I got everything, and if I didn't, I'll hear about it tomorrow. Guys, thank you very much, and have a great week, everyone.